God, I thank you for your goodness and your mercy to us. God, I pray that no matter where we're at tonight, that you would speak to us, whether it's for the first time or for the 101st time, God, I pray that you would be with us tonight and that we would all get to know you just that little bit more. Amen. I wonder, do you believe good news? Not like the good news, but just good news. Good news in general. Do you believe it? Like when someone shares something really good with you, or you read about a good thing that's happened, or something good that's going on in the world, do you believe it? If somebody makes you a promise, like a really, really good promise, do you believe it? Do you get all excited and giddy just at the thought of it and like smile in anticipation and get ready to like take the thing? Or are you a little bit more pessimistic? Do you think, okay, well, I'll believe that when I see it. Well, I've heard this before. I'm not going to get my hopes up. Or are you asking, what's the catch? Wherever you land, I think we all forget how to handle good news when we grow up. You see, I think we forget that good news isn't supposed to just be held in the brain, right? It's meant to inhabit the body. Have you ever seen a four-year-old get good news? Like, they know what to do with good news, right? I have a four-year-old, and when he gets good news, the face lights up, the body starts squirming, makes that kind of a noise, and he starts running around all over the place. All sense that this kid knows how to walk normally totally disappears because this good thing is inhabiting his body, his whole being. This is my eldest, Micah, and today, the 24th of December, is his birthday. And for about 3 months, we have had a front row seat to good news inhabiting the body, right? Because on this birthday, his fourth birthday, he has known that he gets a pedal bike. But not just any pedal bike, right? A pedal bike that looks like a motorbike. Told us what he likes, what he doesn't like, and then he's changed his mind about that. And all of this has just built excitement, right? It's just built up the wonder in his heart. Because as far as this boy is concerned, Mum and Dad have made a promise. The promise that there will be a pedal bike on the birthday. So there's going to be a pedal bike. And so this morning, I grab him out of bed and he is pumped. I take him into our bedroom and like we cuddle for maybe 3 seconds, but he's all like, give me, I want to go. We say happy birthday to him and I go, hey buddy, I think there are some presents for you in the lounge room. And then he's off, right? And he bores down the hallway and me after him, right? Because we don't have the camera ready. Like we want to capture this moment, right? Of him getting the pedal bike. We want to see the reaction. So I just get to him before he gets to the lounge room door and I scoop him up and Mum quickly dashes into the lounge room and gets the camera ready so we can capture the moment. And the whole thing was stalled for maybe 12 seconds. But for a four-year-old, for a four-year-old who is inhabited by good news, that's eternity. This kid is wriggling and squealing and laughing because the people that he knows and trusts more than anyone in the world, his mum and his dad, have made a promise. Pedal bike. Never for a second does he think that there's not going to be good things on the other side of the door because he knows his mum and dad love him, they care for him, and they think the world of him. And after an age, 12 seconds, right? We get the okay from Mum And him and I step into the lounge room and behold the pedal bike, right? The excitement peaks. I let him down. And he runs. Everything that has been promised has come true. Have you ever wondered what it would have been like for the shepherds sitting in the field that night? Under the stars, looking after their sheep, and then suddenly, bang, angel. And it says, "Do not be afraid. I bring good news that will bring joy to all people." I don't know why an angel talks like that. I did play the angel Gabriel, and that was the line once in a show. And that's how I said it, and it's just stuck. I kind of can't say that line without saying it like that. But it gives you a kind of a sense of like the oomph of the moment, doesn't it? Like, do not be afraid. Oh, how do you respond to that? How do you respond to that as the shepherds? What are you thinking? I believe it when I see it. Better not get our hopes up. What's the catch? Probably not, right? If you're anything like me, it'd be probably something like, angel! And then after that, okay, get it together, Cain. It's an angel. This is probably pretty important. And so the angel goes on, right? This is the good news. In the town of David, a Savior has been born, and he is the Christ, the Lord. And this is how you'll know. You'll find him wrapped up in cloth, lying in a manger. That's like a feeding trough for animals. And then to punctuate the moment, the whole sky lights up and there's angels everywhere and they're singing. And they're singing, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." You see, what the angel is saying here is that everything that God has promised has come true. To the shepherds, it's that he loves them. He cares for them. He sees where they're at and he's come to rescue them from death. He thinks the world of them. It's that the birth of this baby will bring glory to God and offers peace to everyone that will let his favor rest on them. And for you right now, it's the promise that maybe, just maybe, amidst the busyness and the complexity of what we've turned Christmas into, whether you're racing from this event to that event or you're sitting alone all day, if you're getting presents that you didn't ask for or you're not getting any at all, if you're eating too much or not enough or nothing, what if amidst all of that, God isn't just watching from the sidelines or from the distance, but rather in Jesus, everything that he has promised has come true. And in Jesus, God is actively participating in what it means to be human, coming to our exhausted, weary, lonely hearts and offering peace. A way of life free from the busyness, from the loneliness, from the discontent and restlessness of our age. A better way of life. It's the promise that God's favor rests on you. All you have to do is respond. And the shepherds show us the simplicity of how to do that. Let's go and see for ourselves these things that we've just heard about, these things that God has done. Let's go and see. And so like my four-year-old tearing down the hallway, they tear off to Bethlehem to see what God has done. And that is what God is inviting you to tonight. To come and see. to come and see that the offer of peace comes from a good and a loving God that knows you, that loves you, and that thinks the world of you. My boy was so filled with joy at the promise of the pedal bike because he knows that his mum and dad love him. They care for him. They want to give him good things because we think the world of him. And that is how God thinks about you. He thinks the world of you. But he knows what you think of him. And he's not afraid of that. He's not. God knows how well you know him, how much you can trust him. He doesn't expect you to be the little boy tearing down the hallway. He doesn't expect you to be anywhere but where you are. He knows if you're bitter or if you're angry at him. He knows if you've turned your back on him or if you're just going through the motions. He knows if you hate him, if you're afraid, if you're full of doubt, or if you're just a skeptic. He knows. He doesn't care. The invitation is the same. This Christmas, the invitation is to come and see that he is good and that his way is better. And so if you're thinking that maybe, just maybe, all of this or some of this might be true, if you're curious to come and see, then do me a favor. Pick up one of these on the way out. This is the Gospel of Luke, right? It's a book in the Bible, but in it, it's going to tell you about Jesus, the kind of life that he lived, the kind of things that he cared about, the things that he said, the things that he did. He's inviting you to come and see. For some of you, jumping into something like that by yourself feels huge, right? Feels big. What do I know about reading the Bible? And if you want to do that with someone and you don't have anyone in your world that you could ask, hit me up after the service and we'll talk. We'll make something happen. But for most people, for most of you, you're probably going to want to get started on your own. So take it home. My gift to you. Read it over the summer, but as you read it, get curious, right? Posture yourselves like the shepherds to come and see. Ask the question, all right, God, here I am. Show me who you are. And you will see, little by little, who God is and what he's inviting you to. And as you do, I want you to remember my little boy. We can bring him back up just in case you've forgotten. That little boy tearing down the hallway at the promise of his pedal bike, right? So full of love and trust for his mom and dad because the promises have just filled him to bursting. And I want you to know that that is how God longs for you to see him because he thinks the world of you. And so this Christmas, the invitation to you right now is to come and see. Let me pray. God, I pray for each and every heart in this room. And I ask, Lord Jesus, that you would stir them all to come and see, whether we've known you for our whole lives, part of our lives, or we don't know you at all, God. Stir us up to come and see this Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen.